It is time now for the Border News Roundup Friday mornings. Marshall Helmberger, he's the editor and publisher of The Timberjay. It's a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Good morning, Marshall. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good morning, Heidi.
Some more news came up this week having to do with the Tower City Council, right? And the former fire chief and ambulance director. He is now former.
Correct. We've talked about, I think, the ambulance director and fire chief here before. Obviously, we've done quite a bit of reporting about concerns we've had with the ambulance service since there are changes that have been made by the ambulance director when he took over back in late 2016 and has made some changes in the staffing that have greatly increased the costs associated with the program or the service, and there's been some significant fallout from that. Other issues as well, it wasn't just a question of mismanagement, also a number of well-documented cases of favoritism, also some negligence involved, and this was all came out in an investigation, which the city council had requested back in February. And that investigation into the ambulance director's name is Steve Altenberg. It went forward and came back. It was a 40-page document which was provided to the city council. And based on the findings of that investigation, they voted unanimously to terminate Mr. Altenberg on Monday. So there's been a little bit of fallout on that. Some of the folks on the fire department who were supportive of Mr. Altenberg were not happy with that decision. There have been two or three resignations that we know of so far, and possibly a few others. It wasn't without some controversy, but the information that came out in the investigative report presented a pattern of problems in terms of questionable decisions, in terms of operations of the ambulance service, as well as very clear favoritism towards certain individuals and possible gender bias as well. And so I think the council felt they really had no choice here but to act. And the other thing, too, is that the ambulance director had been very disruptive. He would come to City Hall multiple times a day and would be very loud. He would be very demanding of information, a lot of it not necessarily related to his job. So he was consuming a lot of time of the city clerk and deputy clerk and just being disruptive. And I know there were complaints from City Hall that they wanted some kind of action taken as well. So in the end, I think this probably had to get done. I suspect that after a few people vent some of their anger about it, things will kind of get back to normal. And the council did appoint interim ambulance director as well as an interim fire chief. So at least, you know, there's continuing leadership there. We'll be watching, of course, as things develop on that.
Yeah, I suppose just as there's new people in place there and trying to come back from some difficulty, if there's another sore thumb or difficulty going on, they're never going to quite get back to where they should be as a city council and get on with some of the projects for the future tower.
Yeah, and that was actually a point that the city attorney made in kind of summarizing it. You know, he said you always have changes in leadership, you know, from the voting in small communities. You know, have turnover as mayor and turnover in the council. And he said, you know, what you need are professional department heads who go with the flow. They accept those decisions made by the voters and they work constructively with the new administration. I think what happened here with Mr. Altenberg is that, you know, he had run for mayor last time and was defeated fairly handily by the current mayor, Orland Kringstad, and he never really accepted the result of that election and has been basically a thorn in the side of the new mayor and the current council really since the last election.
Okay, you'll keep us up to date on those changes and future of Tower. Let's move to Ely now. Last week we heard about the Ely City Council and a boycott, and supposedly it was going to be brought up about this, whether it was okay to be boycotting businesses, this is the Native American businesses, or not, but it didn't happen at the last meeting, is that right?
Yes, the council was able to kind of postpone action on this yet again. They claimed that the resolution that was requested by some area residents, and the resolution was supposed to put the Ely City Council on record as opposed to using boycotts against businesses for political purposes, and council indicated that the form of the resolution was apparently improper, and so they weren't going to act on it. Of course, this all took place with a backdrop of a absolutely packed city council chambers. You had mostly folks who had come out who are in support of copper nickel mining near Ely. They came out in large numbers with signs expressing their support for mining. And, of course, for those who maybe are unfamiliar with the background of all this, is this boycott got started when the Minnesota Chippewa tribe came out with a letter that was supportive of legislation that would have extended the mining ban in a buffer zone around the boundary waters. And this was all part of a proposal to withdraw about 234,000 acres of federal land from mineral leasing. And this would have affected the Twin Metals mine, which is just a proposal at this point. It's a long ways from ever opening, but it's something that folks have been fighting about in Ely for quite some time now with people on both sides of the issue, and it's become very divisive. And then, of course, this whole thing with this boycott issue has just been kind of the latest manifestation of this divide. And it was folks who are opposed to the copper nickel mining who were seeking the resolution from the city council indicating that they don't support the use of boycotting Native American businesses, particularly area casinos, which has been something that we've seen here now since this letter came out from the Minnesota Chippewa tribe. And of course, they've mostly in our area have targeted the Boyce Fort Band and Fortune Bay Resort Casino. It's not clear, you know, if it's had a huge impact at this point. I know I was out there for dinner the other night and it seemed quite busy at Fortune Bay, so it's not clear, you know, how much impact the boycott really has, but certainly it's not the kind of thing that any business wants to be a subject of.
What's your take on it? Will the city council deal with this?
Well, they're supposed to bring it up again on Tuesday, you know, because whatever issue they had with the form of the resolution presumably is going to be resolved in the meantime, and they're supposed to talk about it again on March 17th. So we will probably have some additional information on this at that time.
Okay, sounds good. Let's talk more about a story that you covered this week, Marshall, about the latest aerial survey by the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources on moose numbers. What did they find out?
They found out that the moose population in northeastern Minnesota appears to be stable, which I guess is consistent with what they've been saying the last few years. You know, there was that period starting in about 2006 where we started to see a fairly dramatic decline in the moose population in northeastern Minnesota. And, of course, there was concern because we had seen, you know, the almost total collapse of the moose population in northwestern Minnesota, you know, kind of in the 1990s. And so there was concern we could see something similar over here in northeastern Minnesota. But the last several years now, the numbers have, while they bounce up and down a little bit, year to year, the overall trend line is stable at this point. So at least that's good news that it's not declining anymore at this point. And the bad news, I guess, is that they're not seeing much sign of recovery. And you know, one of the challenges they face, of course, is that and probably the biggest reason that they're not seeing a recovery is that the reproduction not that good. That's really hurt the ability of the moose herd to recover. And, you know, there's obviously a number of factors there, but one of the bigger ones, I mean, at least based on the DNR studies that they have done, is they've demonstrated that, you know, our population of moose in northeastern Minnesota are quite heavily impacted, especially the calves, by wolves. And, you know, that's something that some other areas where the moose populations are a little more robust, they're not dealing with the predation by wolves. And, you know, we do have a fairly dense wolf population in this region, and it probably does have, I mean, it certainly has an impact on the reproductive success of moose. You know, they've determined that wolves are responsible for about two-thirds of the mortality on moose calves, so that's obviously having an impact. And that just kind of comes with the territory. The other thing, I think, is the health of the moose herd is impacted by the presence of white-tailed deer. Of course, they do carry brain worm that is fatal to moose, as well as liver flukes, which also impact the health of moose. So areas where you've got higher deer numbers, that's also impacting the moose population and keeping them at relatively low levels really throughout a lot of the moose range. The only place where they have real high densities or relatively high densities of moose are really along the edges of the boundary waters and then in the interior.
Marshalla, tonight is a big night for boys basketball. Two teams in our listening area. Who are you going to be rooting for?
Well, I will probably be rooting for Northwoods. They were ranked number two this year, or seeded number two in the Section 7A boys basketball section. And they will be facing the number one seed, Nashwaukee-Wotton, tonight. So my guess is that could be a barn burner of a game, and that will be played, of course, in Hibbing. Northwoods defeated Ely on Wednesday in Hibbing to make it to that section final. So, and, of course, the winner of the section final will go on to state. And I know Northwoods is certainly looking for a repeat. They've been to state, I believe, the last 4 years. Out of Section 7. So we'll see if they can repeat.
Okay, sounds great. Well, Marshall, before we go, day two of our membership drive right now. You're an independent media source, so are we. Why do you think it's important to have the Timber Jay and like KEXE, KBXE for rural folks?
Well, number one, we don't like our news to be homogenized. Often happens with larger corporate ownership. So having that independence is very important. It also provides a lot of the variety and diversity of thought and opinion that independent media can provide. And, you know, I think that's why KXE is so important, and that's why my wife Jody and I have been supporters of KXE and members for many, many years.
We sure appreciate it. And, you know, even small things like talking about the Northwoods Grizzlies playing the Nashwaukee-Wotton Spartans tonight. I mean, it just makes you understand what's going on in our region, and you're not going to hear that from media sources out of the Twin Cities. That's not what
That's
they're going to
sure.
report on. So
that's for sure, yep. It's only a small independent operations that are really focused on local news.
Yeah.
Without KXE or newspapers like the Timber Jay, you're just not going to be able to get that kind of information.
That's right. Well, Marshall, thanks so much. We will talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Heidi.
It's Marshall Helmberger. It's the Border News Roundup. We know that this is one of the most listened to segments on Northern Community Radio because you hear a trusted journalist like Marshall Helmberger reporting on northeastern Minnesota. It may not be where you live, but you understand the importance of digging deeper into local community stories. We need you right now on day two of our membership drive to support it. Become a member. It's as little as $5 a month. That makes all the difference in the world to us. We're small, we're independent, not part of Minnesota Public Radio. Call right now, 800-662-5799. I'm Heidi Holton. Thanks so much for your support.